for any paper bag sponsorships out there.
New
Gus is
looking. Specialists. New quarterback. I don't know who your receivers are.
Yeah, and guess what they had in 2006? A new quarterback, new special teams, new set of players.
You have all of that, but we are convinced we're a playoff team. It's incredible. Really is.
You're willing to entertain the possibility.
Well, sure. There's a possibility.
There's a possibility of winning the lottery.
It's a possibility Jordan can dunk. That means it's going to happen.
Oh, that was a low blow.
Oh, no, low blow. I hope you do dunk. That was a low blow. And I hope the Saints win. It's going to take a lot. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans with Hour 3.
Five G is here, but the big carriers want you to sign a pricey long-term contract to get in on the action. Well, no more, because Straight Talk Wireless has rolled out 5G coverage nationwide with plans starting at just $35 a month with no contract. And get a Samsung Galaxy A32 5G for only $299, all on America's best networks. 5G coverage, 5G phones, less money. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary.
Get in zone, AutoZone. Welcome to AutoZone. Having some starting trouble? We can help you out. Let's start with a free battery test. If you just need a charge, we can help with that too. And if you need a new battery, we've got a wide selection of replacement batteries starting at just $79.99. And we're the only place you can find proven tough Duralast batteries, including Duralast Platinum with AGM and EFB technology. That's why we're America's number one battery destination.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Claim based on data from the NPD Group 2020.
How great is it when you get to choose your favorite movie to watch? Well, ZipRecruiter's invite to apply lets you pick your favorites from the best candidates. ZipRecruiter sends you qualified candidates and you can easily invite your top choices to apply for your job. Lauren Webb, Senior Vice President of Talent Acquisition for Mindoula Health, raves about ZipRecruiter's invite to apply. She says, I love that feature because we have a much higher follow-through rate if I invite candidates. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/KELLERMAN to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Kellerman.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. I'm a better neighbor because my service has taught me how important it is to be a team player. My training helps me in my classes when I give attention to detail to the task at hand. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
Oh, he got quite shy. Come on, say it. Ridiculous. Anyway, welcome back to the Sports Hangover, 800-998-1003. You think my kid just disowned me because I'm not on board with the Saints being
I think
a
that's
player?
Exactly what just happened.
Or Todd might have texted him real quick.
You think that's what might have happened?
To disrupt the show.
800-998-1003 is the way to chime into the conversation as we are talking about a handful of things. Pelicans! Woo-hoo-hoo! Nice win over the Bulls. I understand it's the Summer League. I liked what I saw. I did, you know? We can ask your opinions here as well. It's one of our questions of the day. The other question of the day, Patrick Robinson retiring from the Saints. How does that make you feel? Confident? Not confident when it comes to your New Orleans Saints here as well. So we will touch on all of that and more as we welcome in the voice of your New Orleans Saints. None other than Todd Graffinini at NT Graff is the way to follow. Todd over on Twitter. Maddie, sounds like the first time you've heard his Italian intro music.
I was going to say, I forgot my flag and bread at home, but...
Yeah, well, there it is. A little olive oil as well. Sir, how are you?
Just driving through a monsoon right now on I-10, no big deal. It's yeah, such a joy to listen to this show, too. It's such a pleasure. Let me tell you what. I've been listening to you freaking the last, I don't know, 45 minutes.
Sure.
What's going on? I've been listening now for, what, 2 months about the Green Bay game?
Mm-hmm.
There's what? Legalized gambling in Mississippi, right, Doc?
There is.
You don't drive across the state line and put everything you got on a Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
You, personally. You don't do it. I'm going to come on this show every single day and call you out.
Okay.
You are so convinced.
Yeah.
So put your money where your mouth is, dude.
Gotcha.
Don't do it.
All right.
I'm serious.
What'd you see at practice today, sir, that makes you think that I'm wrong?
I didn't say anything. I just want you to put your money where your mouth is.
What did you see at practice today?
Well, let's start off with the Patrick Robinson situation. Because that was a topic of conversation from the get-go because of the new kicker sign, which is Brett Maher, I believe, not Mayer, but, you know, that's tomato, tomato. So we're trying to figure out what the new kicker's number is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, obviously it's going to be a single-digit number, you would think, as a kicker. Well, how many single-digit numbers are available to the state? We're thinking, well, you can't give them 8. You can't give them Archie's number. You can't give them Breeze. You can't give them 9. How many other single digits are there?
Right.
Well, the backup punter is number 5. That's Cooney. Is he still going to be there? Well, all of a sudden, and kudos to Adam Day, videographer for WWL. He sees on the far side that there's a 6, a kicker wearing 6. So you would assume that was Maher. Well, here's the problem. Prince Amukamara, newly signed quarterback for about a week and a half ago, is wearing number 6, or had been wearing number 6. So, where is Amukamara? And after further looking, Amukamara is wearing 21. Well, then you're thinking, well, wait a second. That's Patrick Robinson's number. Why would he be giving up his own number? And that was basically the first hour of practice, trying to figure out where in the heck Patrick Robinson was. Hmm. And then we realized a little bit later that he had retired, and there you have it. So it was a most unusual practice that was highlighted by a 2-minute hurry-up offense with both quarterbacks, Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston, at their own 30-yard line with a minute 55 left and 3 timeouts going down the field. Taysom had a touchdown, highlighted by a great pass to tight end Juwan Johnson. The other drive, he went had a first down and then went 4 and out. Jameis Winston's first drive, he goes down the field, highlighted by a big third down play to Chris Krogan, or Krogan, as Patty would say.
Excellent.
And then got it down to the 5-yard line with no timeouts and 8 seconds left on the clock, and Winston not able to find anybody in the end zone. Throws it out of the end zone with 2 seconds left on the clock, so you get a field goal out of it. And Winston's other drive was a 4-and-out. So if you want to score it, it would be Taysom Hill 7, Jameis Winston 3 on the 2 drives.
All right,
there
you go.
And that was pretty much practice today.
Okay. Look, obviously we're going to see a lot once the games start playing here and how they're going to, you know, kind of go with both. Todd, I'm assuming probably tomorrow or Thursday, since they travel Friday, we'll hear how maybe they will get going. Just kind of based off of what you see now, 11 practices in. I'm feeling right now, I think Taysom Hill is going to go and open the game on Saturday. What do you think?
I agree. And again, Peyton mentioned after practice today, they're meeting tonight to try to figure it all out. So I agree that Taysom's going to go first. How long will he go? That remains to be seen. And I'm not making the decisions, but if it's me, he's going a half. Again, that's just me. Is Winston going to go a quarter? We'll see. Is it going to be Simeon and Book in the final quarter? We'll see. And then against Jacksonville, a week from next Monday, you would imagine it's going to be flip-flop. But they're going to basically decide all of that tonight. And, you know, we'll see if they tip their hand or not in the next couple days because, you know, the week's winding down. They're traveling on Friday. So you got a couple practices left. Whether they're going to be outside or not, we still don't know. You know, we thought we were going to be outside yesterday. That went inside. And so who knows on that end. But, yeah, no, it's going to be very interesting.
And Todd, one of the things that I've at least noticed in my time at training camp is that, you know, neither quarterback has been able to really lean on their strengths here. It's really focused on the checkdowns and the intermediate throws. The two-minute drills today, did you see that the quarterbacks were kind of more in their respective elements, or was it still kind of in this more pure pocket passer sense for Taysom and then a more kind of restrained approach from Winston?
Yeah, did see one design run from Hill today. One design run from Hill. So they've been giving him those opportunities a little bit where they had not been giving him that at all in the first, you know, week and a half. And again, like you said, a lot of checkdowns still. And we were kind of joking about it during that, I want to say it was the first Winston two-minute drive. It was right before that long pass to Chris Hogan, which was by far Winston's best throw of the day. It was just a lot of dump offs and checkdowns. We're joking, boy. You're not calling these really big chunk plays here in a 2 minute situation, though. Situational wise, it was the end of the first half. It was not the end of the ball game. So you're just trying to be safe and get points on the board. But you know, Winston, you know, he every so often he displays that arm strength, and I mean, he can throw it through a brick wall, though. One of his passes today earlier on 7-on-7 got intercepted by Paulson Adebo. And just to tell you the force of the throw, he threw it out. It was going to be a slant. And Marcus Davenport got his hands on it. And that thing popped up in the air 15 to 20 feet. I thought at first it went off a helmet. That's how high up it went. But Davenport claimed that he got the bat. But, you know, Winston can fit it in. When he wants to, just sometimes you got to hope the decision is right.
Not trying to be doom and gloom, but I have to ask you this, and I know there's a lot of different.
Come on, no.
There we go. That's right. Just being negative. I'm just asking you. Was it a thumbs up situation? Andres Pete, Peyton, Buckshot, Turner reportedly left practice early, per reporters. Was it a thumbs up situation or just a normal, you know, something happened?
No, honestly, Gus, in all seriousness, I did not see either guy go off the field.
Okay, well then.
They were in the hurry up, and I'm watching the plays, and we started to notice as it went on that Pete and Turner were not out there. So that's, you know, when I was aware that both had left. I had no idea that either had left because both had been at practice and participating most of the day. So whatever happened had to have happened very late on. And, I mean, honestly, I didn't see either one.
John Hendricks said Turner, Pete left early practice, and you didn't have Traquan Smith again. Pete Werner, PJ Williams, right. Russell, Adonis Alexander, who had just signed, DeMario Davis.
Yeah.
I'm assuming probably is a, you know, a veteran day off here situation. But again, look, it is what it is. And I know Sean Payton said after practice today, we still have a little time, but you have one less preseason game. And if the numbers start, you know, kind of getting you, and at the same time, it's one of the reasons I guess I've been the way I have on the show today is it's a lot of question marks, and there's a lot of players that need to get some snaps here.
No,
you know?
Yeah, no, today was really the first day where you're looking around like, yikes, the number situation, it's getting a little hairy here, especially at cornerback. You talked about it. There were four. Again, we didn't know what happened with Patrick Robinson until very late in practice. Now, Robinson had not participated in the last couple of days, and that's why when we were checking off numbers on our roster, well, 21 was in there. We're like, oh, there's Patrick Robinson. Well, we didn't know it at the time that it was Prince Amukamara. So, again, it was just crazy to be out there today. But, yeah, you had four cornerbacks out today, and remember, you have signed three of them during training camp as training camp has gone on. So, that has been a revolving door, and I would imagine it's going to continue to be right up until the beginning of the regular season.
All right, Todd, I got to do this for you, buddy.
And here's Luzada. Lobs it up and a slick finish by Murphy.
Strong. He's got excellent former dad, except to say, well done, son.
This is going to be hard for you because you think I'm the master of panic when it comes to the football team, but when it comes to the basketball team, I loved what I saw yesterday. So you're on board with me with what you saw from some of the young players, man.
Pump the brakes, Gus. No, I'm just joking. it was nice to see. I'll leave it at that. I think the reason why they drafted Trey Murphy is exactly what you saw yesterday.
Yep.
For him to just be able, Gus, to sit out on the wing and sit in the corner and calmly knock down wide-open threes.
Yep.
Which he is going to get many, many, many opportunities to do with the way we're going to drive it into the paint. Hey, man, I didn't realize how long he was as well. He's got some hops. But you know what was really impressive to me? And again, I know it's summer league, and I know you're going up against a team that's not going to have a whole roster full of NBA guys. But the Bulls had 73 points with 8:40 left in the ball game, and with about 50 seconds left, they still had 73 points. And they had, I want to say they had missed 13 straight shots at one point. And you know why? Because the five guys that were on the floor, and I can name them because I'm going, those guys need to play the rest of the summer. Mm-hmm. Dede Luzada, Najee Marshall, who, by the way, to me, had the best day of all of them. Herbert Jones, the second rounder from Alabama, who had that great block shot on the three ball attempt. Then you had Murphy, and who am I missing? Oh, Kyle Rose Jr. I mean, those five guys on the court at the same time
are
getting after it defensively.
Shamit Dua tweeted a gif of a three-headed dragon monster. Did you see that? Shamit Dua tweeted a gif.
No. I was on DVR time, remember, and I was too much in shock to look at Twitter. I thoroughly enjoyed what I watched.
What I talked about with Andrew Lopez about it was this as well. And I know all those guys can't be on the court any other time, but we've talked about this, whether it's Golden State, whether it's the Bucks, whether it's the Suns, you've got to have guys off the bench. You've got to have that second unit. You've got to have that second team. We saw the Pels at times go with either Zion and others or B.I. and others. And if some of those others are the guys that we're seeing right now kind of look like they're gelling already through a game and play defense, then, hey, that means Zion can take a breather and not have to come back in after sitting out for 30 seconds. You know what I'm saying?
I agree with you 100%. And here's another little X factor. Jose Alvarado, who was also in there playing swarming defense, had a couple of steals yesterday. He is the newly signed two-way player. They signed him to a two-way contract a couple of week and a half ago, which, by the way, Najee Marshall was the two-way player last year and parlayed that into an NBA contract. But Alvarado, and people don't realize this, was the ACC Player of the Year last year out of Georgia Tech. That's a pretty darn good conference with a bunch of blue blood, you know, basketball schools. And Alvarado was the best player of them all. So that's another guy who you might see. I don't know how much time he's going to get, but that's a guy that's going to be able not only to get G League time, but you're going to have him up with the big club for at least, you know, 50 or so appearances. So, you know, I don't know how you could not like what you saw yesterday. And let's just hope it continues. You got three more opportunities to do it in the summer. And hopefully you'll get to the playoff.
Voice of the New Orleans Pelicans and also doing some duties. Covering the Saints, NewOrleansSaints.com. He, John DeShazer, CST. The website, he gives his own observations here as well. As we'll have our first preseason game on Saturday. Todd, as always, appreciate the time, sir.
Thanks, everyone.
There he goes. Quick break and more of your phone calls on the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Yeah. This Black and Gold Report is brought to you by Rogers Parts. Locally owned, nationally known. Lockport, LaRose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadyville. The injury news continues for the Saints as kicker Will Lutz will be out 8 to 12 weeks following surgery to repair a core injury. Head coach Sean Payton on the plan at kicker.
I don't think we'll use two spots necessarily, but we'll work a couple guys out. We'll work more than that if we need to. We'll have a long-term plan and a short-term plan. I think relative to Will's surgery, I don't think it's an extended process, you know, based on the history with that type of injury. Each one's a little different.
As the team preps for Baltimore on Saturday, Payton says his guys had a solid physical workout Monday and expect more of those since you only have three preseason games as go-around.
You know, some days are going to be a little bit more physical relative to the practice than others. You know, you can't control the game loss, but we'll know, hey, what is it we need to work on? What are the periods we need to work on? And then, you know, most importantly, who do we need to see more of?
Will that mean more time for his starters on offense as well?
We'll have a list of guys that, what we do every year, this year will be no different. We'll have a meeting and we'll go through every player on the roster, how many snaps we want them to get. So it won't be the whole unit. You know, there'll be some early outs. There'll be some guys that we need more reps from. We're working in three segments right now, and we'll have that meeting middle of the week relative to this game.
For more on the Black and Gold, keep it here on ESPN New Orleans. This Black and Gold Report has been brought to you by Rogers Parks, locally owned, nationally known. Lockport, LaRose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadyville.
Napa Know How.
Rogers Parts, your local distributor of high-quality Napa auto parts, marine, and industrial supplies, has what you need to keep your vehicle rolling safely down the road. Whether it's repair or maintenance, Napa has the parts to help you make your vacation destination. Getting ready for that big fishing trip, they have quality marine parts to help keep your boat going. So stop by one of Rogers Parts' five locations, Lockport, LaRose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadyville, and talk with one of their ASE parts specialists. Rogers Parts, they've got the Napa know-how.
The Dave single from Wendy's, made with fresh, never frozen beef, has the power to blow your mind. But now that the Dave single is buy one, get one for a buck, as well as the spicy or classic chicken sandwich and the spicy or crispy 10-piece nuggets, Wendy's BOGO for $1 deal is gonna blow your mind and your speakers. Get these faves. BOGO $1 only at Wendy's.
Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. Valid for item of equal or lesser value. Cannot be combined with combo or any other offer.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice. Be your own boss. Call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
What would you say
you do here?
Sports.
All day long.
Hello, sports fans.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Hey, hon. 800-998-1003 is a way to chime in. What are you giggling about? Come on. You're laughing at me. Forgot to take the music now. Sorry. That make you feel better?
That's fine.
It was the song that I probably wouldn't be playing. We don't need any more El Gato Negro music on this team. No? Don't need that anymore. Your New Orleans Saints getting ready to take on the Baltimore Ravens. Matty, I was asking you this during the break. Sean Payton spoke about a couple of receivers. I know we've been focusing on the team's number one receiver who's not going to be there for a while. May or may not be.
Yeah.
You know, whatever with this team. What do you think when I say the name Marquez Callaway? What pops up to you in the practices you've seen?
Wide receiver one. In my opinion, both of these quarterbacks would be looking a lot worse and have a lot more incompletions if not for some of these catches made by some of these receivers in practice, most notably Chris Hogan and Marquez Callaway. Callaway's had a couple contested catches where his physicality has kind of allowed for that, and Hogan's made a lot of what I consider smart catches, kind of jumping and just, again, if he didn't have that footwork and those hands ready, I think we'd be a little more concerned overall. So I think that we should give credit to, you know, where it's due in one of these groups that people were pointing to prior to the draft and weren't that happy, you know, with the results. And Kawan Baker out there, I mean, if you just see him and his stature, you can understand Peyton's initial comments about wanting to move him to the outside, which kind of took everyone aback, but he just doesn't look like a slot receiver. And if you look at his tape, he almost kind of runs like a running back when he actually gets the ball. So, I mean, Callaway has really taken that jump that you almost, it's a little inexplicable to expect from a receiver in just this year's time with the little amount of playtime that he had. But from what I've seen, I have no reason to think that they're a weakness.
Here's Sean on him this afternoon.
Felt like I saw some of that last year, yeah. Quietly, and I think it, you know, was a little bit under the radar, but I thought his confidence level really grew when he began playing midseason, and you saw it week in and week out with how he played, and he's a willing blocker himself. He's tough. We just keep developing him, but he did enough things for us to see last year and feel confident that, you know, this guy's going to, you know, help us.
I know this sounds crazy, but I almost feel more comfortable, confident, secure in the receiving group than I actually do in a couple of the other areas. And I know that sounds nuts, but what I've seen and have read and have heard from you is, and Callaway looks the part. I said that going into this offseason. I said, he just looks the part. Let's see if it can grow into it. I don't think Traquan's somebody I can't trust to at least catch the ball, right? I know that sounds silly, but I mean, that's somebody there. And then you have other guys, whether it's Baker, Juwan Johnson, which we're about to play here as well.
Jalen McCleskey.
McCleskey, you know, seems to be a guy that can do it. Deontay Harris is probably the second best receiver on the team, or if not the best receiver on the team.
Yeah. I mean,
I honestly think that. I think you're not going to see him until week three, maybe, but he's a legit weapon on offense. Would you agree?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
To the point where I'm probably not making him the returner right now.
You're not making him the returner?
Well, I mean, I don't, because I don't know who else I may have, you know.
I've said that. If he's going to be involved, put McCleskey back there.
Yep. Go return.
He has the same speed.
Exactly right.
And with the value that Harris has shown on offense.
100%.
You can't risk. It's like when Alvin Kamara has been back there a small amount of times, and it's like, what is he doing back there?
Yeah, exactly. You're sitting going, what are you doing?
And at Harris's size, I really think they need to find someone else in that role. And yes, we keep saying, oh, can't wait to see this in week three, but.
And before anyone goes, but that's what he's an all pro for, he wasn't an all pro. Lance Moore made this team as a punt returner. Lance Moore made this team as a special teamer. He became invaluable on third down on this offense at the receiving position. Pierre Thomas made this team as a kick punt returner, special teamer, occasional back, became invaluable as a screen, tough-nosed running back starter who scored the first touchdown for the Saints in the Super Bowl. So I think it makes perfect sense to see, because again, you just can't, you got to trust us on this, fans. You cannot walk out to practice and not see a slant against CeeDee Deuce, where CD's 3 yards behind him, 2 steps in. You can't see a go route where 4 steps in, he's past CeeDee Deuce or somebody else on the starter, and it's just, can the ball make it there? Like, he's running really good routes. He's using his speed to get separation. And then once the guy gets the ball in his hands, Matty, he can score. I mean, to me, he has to be one of your receivers that sees multiple snaps, you know, not just a gimmick here or there or something of that nature.
Oh, absolutely. And just based on his usage during camp, even with that impending potential suspension, it's very clear that that's not the case. But what I've also seen is in the cases where there isn't that much separation and these secondary guys have actually been really tight in their coverage is, again, that physicality from the receivers that was a little bit surprising. You know, like I said, that one where it really should have been an interception for Taysom, if not Marquez Callaway going to the ground, ripping it out of that defensive back's hands. I think it might have been Robinson or Crawley, but at this point now one of the two is irrelevant. But they've been the more impressive group to me thus far, just based on what they had and the confidence levels collectively of Saints fans heading into this camp with them signing, you know, a quote-unquote lacrosse
player. Not to be disrespectful, they're not the names. They're not the names that you know, and they're not the names that people outside of New Orleans are even going to know.
Right.
So that's what I mean by that. Juwan Johnson is another guy that, you know, again, is getting talked about. Here's head coach Sean Payton.
He's developing, you know, inside, you know, he's made this transition to tight end. He's a willing blocker. He's tough. He's very serious and mature relative to his preparation, and I'm encouraged with what he's done so far, and we just keep working with him. But certainly he feels comfortable inside and in those traffic areas.
One of the other reasons I keep saying a potential playoff team, and I got to see, not a lot of experience at tight end. I like little Jordan Humphrey. I almost think like he could be like a tight end on this team. Troutman, I like what he can do. I like his size. I like his potential. And Juwan here as well. It just, again, it sort of looks like we're gonna find out as you do on who kind of stands out. And your practices that you viewed, I know we talked about quarterback standing out. If you had to name the best tight end right now,
I guess I'd say Adam Troutman, just for some of the throws that he's had with both Winston and Hill, where it shows like there's legitimate chemistry going on at that tight end role in a way that, you know, the Saints haven't really seen since Ben Watson, in my opinion. He's an often look on them, and to have other, the thing is that they also need tight ends that can block.
Right.
And they did pick up a lot of those guys, but they've kind of been in and out of practice. Nick Vanette, Ethan Wolf, Dylan Sainer, but if Juwan Johnson is stepping up as a willing blocker, the two things that stuck out to me were blocking and maturity, and that's the maturity is something that's really stood out to me in this receiving group.
It's one of the position groups that going into practice, one, you're, let's see, and maybe, maybe it does help that Jameis Winston worked out with a lot of these guys in the offseason, or these guys were working out together, or with Taysom Hill, who said he worked out with people. So it definitely looks like these guys put in work, I guess is the best way to look at it. You know, and again, one of the storylines in the first week of camp was the ball's not hitting the ground. A, that means the quarterback's throwing it accurate, but B, the receivers aren't dropping it. So, again, let's see how that translates to a game and how that translates. But as crazy as it sounds, I'm more confident in that position group than a couple of others on this team. Quick break. We come back. Jim Eichenhofer from Pelicans.com will give his thoughts on what he saw in Vegas. The graphs sounded excited, huh?
Yeah. I think he's
just think he's sitting there going, I don't know what's going to be like to call a wide open three that actually goes in.
Yep.
Yeah.
New repertoire of terminology coming up.
I like what I saw for Trey Murphy. I'm not going to lie to you. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
I 5G is here, but the big carriers want you to sign a pricey long-term contract to get in on the action. Well, no more, because Straight Talk Wireless has rolled out 5G coverage nationwide with plans starting at just $35 a month with no contract. And get a Samsung Galaxy A32 5G for only $299, all on America's best networks. 5G coverage, 5G phones, less money. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. 5G capable device required, actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary.
Dear Vet Ticks, it was nice to spend the night with my daughter and other veterans. It's so humbling to attend an event when you feel appreciated.
I had a wonderful time with my family. Thank you for the memories, Vet Ticks.
Dear Vet Ticks, thank you for a great experience and for your support of the military and veterans.
Thank you so much, Vet Ticks. Our family has gone through a lot the last few years, and this gave us a nice break.
Every empty seat at a concert, game, or special event is a missed opportunity to say thank you to a veteran or a service member. By giving your extra tickets to VetTix, you'll help America's heroes reduce stress, strengthen family bonds, and create a truly happy memory that will last a lifetime. So when you really want to say thank you for your service, give the experience, give the memory. VetTix. Give something to those who gave. For more information on how you can make a difference, go to vettix.org.
People will come.
They come to Iowa for reasons they can't even fathom.
This Wednesday, the first Major League Baseball game ever played in Iowa. The Field of Dreams game.
The one constant through all the years has been baseball.
The New York Yankees and the Chicago White Sox.
People will come. People will most definitely come.
Coverage begins Wednesday at 6:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app.
Good afternoon.
Let's hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Can't get out and run unless we rebound. And we got to get back on defense with a sense of urgency. The ball is what scores. All right, look, it's stay connected, stay together, but we have to correct these things as we progress throughout the course of the game. Let's get the ball moving and hopping a little bit. If you're open, take the shot. All right, you open on that three, shoot it. All right, that's what you guys work on. You guys good? Yeah. Stay together. Hey, we got to be a little tighter on our shifts defensively. Look, let's stay away from one pass shots, though. Let's stay away from one pass shots. Let's try to move it around, attack. Every time we move it around side to side, we get anything we want, all right? And then rebound it. We got a rebound down there.
I love that. That's Willie Green, new Pelicans head coach. He was wired for sound. Potter's ESPN's coverage in the Summer League game yesterday. Nice win by the Pels. I liked what I saw from a lot of those young guys as well. Here's Willie Green, and we'll go to Jim Eichenhoff for here in a quick sec, because he just came in. Basically, what he thought on the game and on the win, and how he thinks the team kind of, you know, performed yesterday, especially.
I feel great. You know, really good staff around me that's supportive, doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes, and they just allow me to go out and coach the game. And then it's easy when you have good people. You know, Griff, Trajan, Swin, our coaches that have performance team and high character players. It's easy to go out and get these guys to do what they need to do to elevate our team.
Jim Eichenhoff for Pelicans.com joins us. Jim, good afternoon to you, sir. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing fine. Look, the graph was excited. He texted me last night, what am I watching, in all caps. I was excited. I understand it's Summer League. I get it. And I understand it's like watching things in preseason football. But, Jim, you always want to see, I guess, some of the newer faces look and see how they look and perform in game minutes. What were your thoughts on the first two draft picks by the Pelicans here, and Herbert Jones and Trey Murphy, just on what you saw, what your eyes saw?
Yeah, I mean, in general, I don't know how much more you could ask for in terms of their first game and the first time that we've gotten to see them play in a quote-unquote Pelicans uniform. I mean, Trey Murphy was incredible. He did what he did apparently in college. I really didn't get to see him play too much at Virginia, but he shot over 40% from three, and then yesterday he was phenomenal from three-point range. And then Herb Jones was really good in a lot of different areas of the game, which, again, was pretty much what he did in college and what he was known for. I got a big kick out of a lot of people from Alabama responding to stats from the game and tweets about Herb Jones, saying that they basically looked at his stat line and they were like, yep, that's what he does. That's what he did at Alabama as well, so we're not surprised. So he had one of those 6.5 rebound, 4 assists, 2 blocks, 2 steals lines, which didn't blow you away in any one category, but it was cool to see him just make a bunch of contributions in so many different areas. And based on, we all watched last season, we all saw the defensive performance. I mean, it's encouraging to see guys that are good at that end of the floor, for sure.
For sure. I know Todd brought up the fact that the Bulls struggled to close out and score the last few minutes of the game. I think 11 straight shots or something of that nature he brought up. Shamit Dua, who covers the Pels here as well, I loved his gif at the end of the game where he loved, I think it was Kyra Herbert and also Trey, and they had a gif of a three-headed dragon monster sort of thing going in and how they locked down defensively. Again, I'm just going by what David Griffin, man, said at the end of the year. We need shooting and, you know, defense is part of that as well. And what you sort of need in those three principles and just attitude. And I liked seeing those guys that closed out. It was small. I get it. But, dude, they were contesting everything and rebounding.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, everyone's going to take Summer League results with a grain of salt. We know the competition is not at the same level as the regular season and when you see the top guys in the league are out on the court. But I mean, what they did, especially in the second half, I thought was really promising. We want to see Kyra Lewis make a jump in his second year. I think everybody that follows the team saw the way Nikhil Alexander Walker made a lot of progress from his rookie year to his second year. His rookie year was pretty shaky. Last year, he had a couple 30-point games and just showed when he's in a larger role that he can produce. So I think for Kyra, that's what we want to see. And then for the other rookies, I think one thing that I'm paying close attention to and kind of following and looking at is they both played multiple years in college. Herb Jones played 4 years. Trey Murphy played 3. So does that make them more able to step in and be able to perform at a high level and in key situations? Obviously, we're not going to know that until the regular season. We don't know how much they're going to play or what their spot in the rotation is going to be. But, I mean, just based on one summer league game, obviously, which isn't a whole lot in the
right
grand scheme of things, but they did really well and they responded. I think we've seen a lot of guys. I've watched a few other summer league games, bits and pieces, and you see guys that were picked super high in the draft in the top 10 that maybe didn't have the best first game or two, and it might be a bigger adjustment for them. When you're 18 or 19, there's a big difference compared to when you're 21 or 22 and all of a sudden you're going against guys that have been pros and guys that have made a living doing this.
One of the things, Jim, that speak with Jim Eichenhoff for Pelicans.com about yesterday's Pels win over the Bulls in Summer League, I think one of the things that's important to you, I know it's not common to have your head coach the Summer League. Normally it's a top assistant or somebody is trying to get some experience under their belt. Willie is. And, you know, I look at this and you brought up what the rotation's going to be, what the minutes will be, what the role will be for some of those players we see close out, say, the game yesterday. But here's my thing. You're going to need them for something, whether it's minutes, whether it's injury, whether it's bringing up situations, whatever. And I do like that your head coach is with this cast of young players, right? Your draft picks, guys like Kyra, who's still young, Najee, all that, to kind of get a sense of who he is. He gets a sense of who they are. I know it's just 4 games, but you have practices in between. You have these games in between. And that just gives you a better foundation, man, once everybody starts showing up in September, because then you have, you know, guys that are vets and have played in the league with it, Zion and B.I. or Devontae Graham and stuff of that nature. So I like seeing this in Valanciunas. So I like the fact that your young coach is spending a lot more time with the younger players, because let's be honest, I think if the Pels are going to be a playoff team, those younger players are going to have to contribute. I know what my other stars are going to do.
Yeah, I mean, you make several good points there. I think one thing, I'm not sure if it's written in stone, but usually first-year head coaches are the only ones that are really, quote-unquote, allowed to coach their summer league team. I think even some of the guys that are new coaches, but with a different team, such as Rick Carlisle for Indiana, for example, I don't think he's going to coach the summer league team. But since Willie Green is in his very first year as a head coach, that's something that is generally done in summer league. But as far as the guys, you're talking about how, you know, you're going to have to rely on them at some point. I thought what last season showed us, and hopefully this year is a little bit more normal than the previous season or two of the NBA was, but with load management and the schedule being compressed, unfortunately, injuries continue to increase. That's a whole other discussion in terms of the reasons behind that, but there's no doubt that what you said is the case in terms of if you're on the roster, you need to be ready to play. And even though the Pelicans were one of the teams that actually had kind of the lowest number of injuries, especially in the first 4+ months of the season, you still had guys like Najee Marshall, who was in the G League bubble, who got to play a bunch towards the end of the season after guys were injured. So, I mean, I think every guy pretty much on the roster last year who was there got an opportunity to play. So you better be ready. If you're, you know, we don't know beyond the 5 guys that a lot of people are focusing on the summer league team, if any of the other guys are going to be on the roster. But if you make it through training camp and then you're on the roster in mid-October, you definitely need to have the mindset of there will be a chance for me to play. So I think more than ever now, teams are relying on, you know, 13 to 15 guys on the roster, as opposed to maybe 10 years ago when you said, like, okay, we have 10 or 11 guys, and beyond that, the other guys or players are going to just get splinters all season.
We're talking to Jim Eichenhoffer. You can follow him on Twitter, Jim_Eichenhoffer, Pelicans writer for your New Orleans Pelicans. I know you talked with Antonio Daniels today on the Pelicans podcast. Without giving away too much, because I want some of our listeners to go over there and check it out, what was the main takeaway from today's show that y'all recorded, and something that just stood out to you from what Antonio had to say?
Well, I'm sure a lot of people feel the same way. I always enjoyed listening to Antonio because obviously he adds a completely different layer of that. He played in the NBA, I think, 13 years, and he was a role player. He had a bunch of different roles throughout his career. But I think one of the main things that I thought was interesting that he talked about, just guys coming into the NBA, the vast majority of the players that we see in summer league, and when I say that, I mean 99.5%, know that they're not going to be starters right away. They're not going to be key, you know, parts of the offense and that kind of thing. So they have to be able to adapt, and they have to be able to fill in the gaps of what they're looking for. So I think so far it's got to be pretty encouraging to see that Trey Murphy and Herb Jones are both very defensive-minded. And obviously Trey had a fantastic offensive game as well. But I think one of the main things that we talk about on the podcast is filling a role and understanding like what the team needs from you is a huge part of success for a player who's not going to be a star, especially short term with the team. And I would say there's probably only two or three guys in summer league right now that are in that position in the entire league of where they say, okay, I'm going to have jump in and get 15 shots a game. That everybody else is going to have to figure out, like, okay, how do I defend? How do I play unselfishly? How do I rebound? How do I do the dirty work and the hustle plays? And that's how I'm going to get back in the NBA, at least as a rookie.
Jim, it's going to be fun. I know it's summer league. It is what it is, but it's still hoops, and it's crazy. We're just over 80 days? Probably even less than that, man, from the start of the new season next month. Guys will be starting to coming into New Orleans. Training camp starts, right after the month of October starts, and then we're playing basketball, man, right around the corner. So I'll take it. I can't wait till tomorrow, 6 o'clock, OKC. Anytime I get to see what is going to be a better season, hopefully I will take, man.
You know, it does seem like it's been a very fast off season. It's like by very quickly. It's hard for me to a little bit to wrap my mind around the idea that training camp starts next month. But at the same time, I think the way that last season went and the way it ended, I think I'm very happy to kind of turn the page and let's get going with a new season. And I think yesterday was also a good that it was really nice to see the way that they played and to see the results, the performance of some of the new guys on the roster.
Indeed. Jim Eichenhoff, as always, man. Appreciate the time, sir.
No problem, Gus. Thank you.
Yep, for sure. Quick break. We come back. How are we down to one segment? I don't know.
Time flies when you're having fun.
I guess so.
Tomorrow is the midday point of your work week, so I guess.
Can't wait to see what hump day brings.
Oh, come on. It can't be worse than this. Huh?
Don't ever say words like that.
That is very
now
true.
Well,
you heard it here first. Yeah. When everything inevitably goes wrong tomorrow, you know who to
What's going wrong tomorrow? Nothing's going wrong tomorrow. It'll be fine. Remember what we've learned today. There's Saints fans left and right. This is a playoff team. No matter what happens, Maddie. So no matter what the news will be tomorrow, more faith and hope. Sports Hangover continues next.
Today's Medical Minute is provided to you by Thibodaux Regional Medical Center.
Hello, I'm Billy Nakian, the director of the Spine Center of Excellence at Thibodaux Regional. Have you had a recent neck or back injury? Or have you been suffering with recurrent neck and back pain? Have you been searching for relief? Thibodaux Regional has developed a unique approach to treating neck and back disorders. The Spine Center of Excellence provides a comprehensive, patient-centered approach to ensure that you receive the right care at the right time from the right provider. The Spine Center is different because it offers centralized access to multiple specialties and services. Patients and their referring physicians are led by a nurse navigator through a process of assessment and treatment, individually tailored to the patient's unique condition. In addition to total care coordination, the Spine Center's comprehensive services include everything from high-tech diagnostic imaging to physical therapy, surgery, alternative medicines, and chronic pain services. If you're experiencing back or neck pain, call today. 985-493-4501. The Spine Center of Excellence of Thibodaux Regional will put you on the path back to your normal routine.
This Medical Minute was sponsored by Thibodaux Regional Medical Center, nationally recognized for providing the highest level of quality care and patient satisfaction.
Time is money. Don't waste both running around looking for filters, batteries, and belts and related items. Fleet Supply Warehouse delivers.
Fleet Supply offers daily scheduled delivery, including Bayou Lafourche, New Orleans, Morgan City, New Iberia, Lafayette, Thibodaux, Baton Rouge, the North Shore, plus the River Parishes too. Automotive, lawn equipment, agricultural, marine, or industrial. Fleet Supply Warehouse, 985-868-0430. Venture Boulevard, Houma.
Good afternoon.
Only one performance a day.
Well, let's get this show on the road, eh?
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Questions of the day, Jordan, have not been kind to me, apparently.
No, I mean, people are telling you to cheer up. Tuesday's draft. Kings question of the day. Give us your top takeaways from the New Orleans Pelicans' first summer league game. Mm-hmm. The other question has to do with your New Orleans Saints. And Ian Rappaport's tweet 3 hours ago, what do you think, Saints fans, on veteran cornerback Patrick Robinson informing the Saints that he will be retiring?
Yep, retiring. DeBima has called me Gus Kendengull, Master of Panic Jr.
Kendengull.
Mm-hmm. Master of Panic, of course, that term goes to none other than the former Falcons head coach, Mike Smith. Who we did save. We did save Smitty for a while. We did. It was trending.
So you're the second coming of...
No, I'm not a master of panic. I'm just a... I don't know. Just a realist? All right. How would you define me, Betty?
A little doomsday, okay. Perhaps.
Really? Doomsday? Just pointing out that we don't know a lot of things?
Well, Mr. We need to draft a receiver. This is not a group of receivers.
That was never me. I was a linebacker. Yeah, I wanted a receiver at the Bengals. I never said I wanted a receiver first round.
Yeah, he was talking about that guy, the name that he can't remember. All of a sudden, he was like the best.
Zaven Collins? The Zaven Collins?
You looked him up after the show.
I didn't look him up. Not at all.
I am still bitter about that, but it's...
I would love Zaven Collins. But you know what? All along, they knew Quan Alexander was coming back.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have wanted Zaven Collins if I knew Quan Alexander hadn't hurt himself. I'd have been completely fine with it.
Well, isn't hindsight a fun tool to have at our
disposal? It is a very fun tool to have as well.
I'm curious, though. I feel like we probably will see quite a bit of Quan Alexander through this preseason because it seems like they know what they have at this point in Bond and Werner in terms of development there. But I'm curious to see, Quan actually take some snaps out
there. Do you think he starts against Green Bay?
I think that he's probably going to start in the preseason, and that'll determine it. If he can last through a game, you likely put the guy out there that knows the schemes well. But I've kind of thought about this. If they can't really solve the issue at DT, do we see any type of three linebacker schemes?
I've thought about that a lot, yeah. Just have him go rush the passer.
Just to add on Quan and then already have drafted Werner and Bond, it kind of makes me wonder.
I texted you a photo yesterday around 10:30-ish. That was Ian Book. What? Relax.
No.
It was Ian Book. It was your I mean, there's Taysom Hill on one wall, and then there's Ian Book.
Listen, I wasn't expecting absolutely any takeaways from Ian Book, and he is where my eyes were drawn to for the majority of training camp.
He's very breeze-like.
In the way he talks and just...
Yeah, no, it is.
Sounds like Maddie has a crush.
Well, again, I just said...
I have a quarterback crush a little bit.
There's two fathead posters in her room. One's Taysom Hill. What is Taysom doing? Is he handing it off? Is he in action? Is he running? Like, what's the photo of Taysom Hill in your room? Is he throwing? Is he faking the pitch? Like, what's the action photo of Taysom Hill? If we had a photo.
She has a big head.
Well, it's a fat head. The fat head, it's a photo of a player. You know, like, you'll see him swinging, a player dunking. What would Taysom Hill be doing? Like, when you think of Taysom, I'm thinking running, right? I'm probably thinking like he's running over somebody. That would probably be my photo.
Yeah.
Thinking in Book right now, it's just kind of just like the press count. I mean, the hair was flowing yesterday and everything. It really
was. I mean, just when you think about them in the pre-training press conference talking about intangibles, I mean, the most I've seen in terms of intangibles in camp is someone that's been chasing down the receivers, going over reps that didn't work out, and going through these mental reps with Ronald Curry, the quarterback coach, quite often. Just doesn't seem like Book is taking this for granted, and I've said this all along. I mean, if this quarterback competition doesn't take off, I would be careful.
You said at the beginning of camp, you're like, he's going to be above Simeon. I'm like, oh boy. I would absolutely agree with you. If from what I've seen.
Yeah, and it's been a surprise because the whole thing coming out of Notre Dame was his lack of pocket presence. And then the first thing I noticed was this guy actually is very commanding pocket presence for not being 6 foot. I'm sorry, Ian Book is not 6 feet tall, but neither was
Drew. Well, Drew, exactly. Again, very Drew-like. It's very eerie. Like,
I mean, the birthmark is weird. Let's just admit it.
Like, his hand size reminds me of Drew. It's very eerie.
Well, when he did that pump fake, everyone was kind of, how did he just do that? Dude, it's the hand size.
I'm telling you, it's very eerie.
It's weird,
It is.
Jordan is looking at both.
We're talking about Ian Book like he's going to be the starting quarterback for the Saints.
Well, if neither guy can get in the end zone against the next three preseason game. Well, hey, what? Hey!
Ian Book, oh man, a saver. Let's start bowing down this guy.
What did we learn today?
What was the whole Wally Pitt thing?
Yep.
Because, I mean, Winston and Hill could easily become Wally Pitt if they don't play
in the
season.
Oh, Jordan, I had caller after caller and Twitter person after Twitter person telling me it doesn't matter. We got a new kicker, a new receiver, new this. Doesn't matter. Play him.
Ian Book.
Because of Sean. So you know what?
You heard it here first on the Sports Hangover. Ian Book, starting quarterback for your Saints.
Did you say that? I never said that.
No. I'm
just happy to actually see a young quarterback not look terrible.
And show growth, pointed growth from his time at Notre Dame, at least in his, you know, glaring areas of weakness, given that he let Peyton Turner throw an OT into him before he took off.
Here's what he had to say so far, how practice is going.
I think it's going well. I'm having a lot of fun out here, and I'm just trying to be as fun, trying to just learn as much as I can. It's a great group of quarterbacks, and they've just been helping me out on everything, you know, and at the same time with them helping me out, we're all competing, which is what it's got to be like. And just having fun out here, absorbing as much as I can and truly learning a lot.
Here's Book on those two TD passes he had yesterday, Matty.
Just a big red zone period. You know, Coach Payton was no turnovers, no sacks. Be smart with the ball. We obviously have a field goal, you know, in our back pocket. So that's what's on my mind. But we ran a nice little stick nod off the safety, which was perfect. It was my first time running that play. Wanted to look off the safety, and I knew Juwan. He was obviously having a great day today and a great camp, and he's somebody I really like throwing to. So just had to get in the end zone.
I mean, all I'm saying is it's the first time that he ran the play and he threw a touchdown.
Jordan. You could hear the football IQ really in him just being able to pick these things up. And I believe Todd did ask him this question because we did both notice him repeatedly going back to Curry, and it's that they're continuously running these mental reps through their head, even if the play went right, it's, well, where were those other looks? And you know, it, quite frankly, again, it's more than I've really seen from Hill or Winston, at least on an eye check perspective.
Yeah, he's a starting quarterback.
Hey, you know what? Sean Payton was asked today, are you comfortable playing all your quarterbacks?
Well, they're not asking if we're comfortable with it. We're doing it. You know, and so now it's just a matter of, you know, we'll meet tonight and tomorrow night on the rotation, how we're going to play these guys. And, you know, it might be one of them doesn't play as much the first week, plays more the second. And I'm talking about even our down-the-line players. So that's why all of this matters, too.